From the Bozone, here in my basement in Bow, New Hampshire, USA, welcome to World Bridge's very first LiveWire webcast. What is LiveWire webcast? Well, tonight, it's pretty much an experiment. It's an experiment to see if the technology is going to work as I think it can, and also to see if anyone tunes in. Right now, doesn't look like anyone is tuning in, so I think I will continue my monologue a bit longer. A bit of background information. I am Jeff Lebo. I do not have a blog. I do not have a podcast. I do not have a vlog. But ever since I saw Real Player 1.0, I started thinking about the possibilities of creating some kind of network of homegrown webcasting. And I've played with webcasting on a number of sites that I have managed and done some live stuff, some videos, some audio, but it wasn't until recently when I saw listened to my first podcast, and then I discovered Skype, that I realized a lot of the things that needed to be there to create some kind of sustainability for this kind of network were actually in place. And it's still very much the early days. I think there's a lot of kinks that need to be worked out, as you can probably tell from the cackling in the audio. But I think we're not too far away from actually having all these great new content creators who are producing podcasts and vlogs and things like that from doing so live. And when it's done live, you get this extra immediacy and real-time feedback and contributions to the content itself. So that's the basic vision of where I think where this whole idea came from. Tonight, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the technology behind doing something like this, to share some of my thoughts on how it might evolve, and to play a sampling of some things I've come across in the media sphere recently. For those of you listening to this not live, I should just point out that this is live, and at any time someone could Skype in, I hope they will, and participate in the discussion, share their ideas, plug their podcast or vlog or whatever else. So, let me begin talking about some of the technology behind this. The prerequisite in order to do this, and I should preface this by saying this is how I'm doing it, and I'm sure there's a lot of other ways and probably better ways to do this, but from my understanding of doing something like this, this is what's required. And to do this free, with as little money as possible, the streaming technology that I use is Shoutcast. It is free to download and free to use, but it requires that you have your own dedicated server. For those of you who don't know what a dedicated server is, it's your own actual computer, and you can pay companies to basically rent one, and you have your hard drive and your RAM and everything else, and on that computer you can install the Shoutcast server software, and that will allow you to stream live content. Audio is streamable in you can listen to it using Real Player or Windows Media Player or Winamp. Video is not quite as user friendly at this point because it requires a special plugin. So you can't watch it in those other media players except for Winamp, because it's produced by the company that produces Winamp. So that's the first thing you need is your own dedicated server. My dedicated server right now is purchased from servermatrix.com. They've been a pretty decent company. I get 1.2 terabytes of bandwidth per month, which is pretty decent. And it allows me to do this. Got my eyes on this nice new suite of a dedicated server that if things get going, I may purchase. But you have to have your own dedicated server. One of the ideas I had is to create some kind of webcasting co-op where people who are interested in streaming regular live programming could share a server. You know, no one's going to webcast live 24 hours a day. So if you wanted to have a weekly show, you sort of, that's your part of the co-op. You have Tuesdays at 8 o'clock or whatever, and kind of divide up the costs of a server that way. Dedicated servers, you can get them for as little as almost $100, and they go up from there. So it's not a huge investment, but that's something that needs to be figured out, is how people can get into this in an affordable way. Other technology involved. Well, the part that I'm hoping to test it sometime soon is the interactive part, the fact that people can Skype in and participate in the discussion. And for that to happen, you need to have a USB microphone, or at least I think you do. You need to have a USB microphone, and you need to purchase something called virtual audio cables, which I don't have a link to on the site, but when I put up the show notes, I will provide a link to. And that is because that when you want to record the audio of a Skype call, you need to record from the actual soundboard. In Windows XP and most sound cards, you have to check what you hear instead of microphone. If you're recording only microphone, then you're not getting what's going on in Skype with the other people. So you need a USB microphone. This virtual audio cables thing, I don't really understand, but I know when I downloaded them and or bought them and played with them a little bit, things started working. So I personally need to learn more about why those do what they do, but I believe they are a requirement for now. The other thing you need is some kind of streaming software. Winamp, which is connected with Shoutcast, if you're just doing a monologue kind of show, you could use Winamp. Oddly enough, you can't use a new version of Winamp. It has to be before, I believe, 3 whatever. I think the version I'm using is 2.96 or something, and you have to get a special plugin, and then you can do it, audio or video, and you can go to shoutcast.com and find out more about that. I couldn't get that working so that it would record Skype calls and everything else that I wanted to record during a show like this. So I started looking around at different DJ software. I wound up with Sam Broadcaster. It's fun because it lets you feel like you're a DJ. It was working fine in the trial version, and then I paid the $199 and had troubles installing the registered version, and I think I've had some database problems because I'm not able to load in all the music I want, and I need to get more familiar with that as well. But that's one option. The company that produces SAM, which is spatialaudio.com, also produces something called Simplecast, and I believe that's $59. It's not as sophisticated as far as being DJ kind of software, but it does allow you, I think, to do everything you need to do to record and webcast this kind of live Skype stuff. And then you need Skype, which is, of course, free. I've gone crazy with Skype. I've gotten Skype out and Skype in and Skype voicemail and phone number and everything, because Skype is just pretty cool. So that's really all the technology that you need. It's not a huge investment, and bada boom, bada bing, you have your own global radio show or someday TV show. So that's the tech roundup for now. Some of the challenges or obstacles that need to be cleared to make this better. First thing is the virtual audio cables. In order for that to do what it needs to do with the USB microphone, I need to create a 200 millisecond latency, a 0.2 second delay between speaking into the microphone and hearing what I say in the headset. Other people don't hear the delay, but the person who's managing the webcast does. And I got to tell you, it's a little bit freaky. I've had to kind of practice speaking in the microphone in a way that doesn't slow me down, because I found I was trying to catch up with myself. So I hope there's a way around that, because I may lose my mind otherwise. But That's where that is for now. The other strange thing that has happened sometimes is that when I'm on a Skype call with someone and they're speaking, when that person is speaking, all the audio gets blurred out for them. It's not a problem. People can hear their audio. It's just a strange audio anomaly to get used to. And then, of course, the other limitation, if you have a webcast that a lot of people are listening to, becomes bandwidth. And can the server handle 200 people listening at the same time? And that's an issue of bandwidth, and it's also an issue of CPU. Which, if you have a successful webcast, hopefully somehow you'll be making enough money to pay for it. Or you can, getting back to the co-op kind of idea, it is possible for, if I had a bunch of Shoutcast servers at different locations, I could stream this to all of them at the same time. So if there were a group of different webcasting co-ops who shared resources and someone had a really popular show, they could stream it out to more than one server at the same time, kind of like providing a download mirror. This could be kind of like a webcasting mirror. Okay, I think that's all I have to say about technology for now. I'm sure I'll have much more to say another time. I want to just check in and make sure no one's still listening, and apparently no one is. Nope, no one is listening. Let me just make sure that it's possible to listen and that this is coming out. All right, I am now going to listen to this webcast. Ah, which reminds me of something I needed to mention. All right. Much for now. I'm sure I'll have much more to say another time. I want to just check in and make sure no one's still listening. And if, okay, that was the webcast of what I just said. The other thing I forgot to mention is that there's a delay, anywhere between 30 seconds and 2 minutes, between real time of what when you're saying something and when it's actually heard by webcast listeners. Before moving on, I am going to try to Skype someone. Earlier this evening, while my wife and I were at the health club, got a Skype contact request from the good folks at audiocollective.net. That would be Dave, Corey, or Rachel. So I'm going to Skype them now. They say they're not available, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway and see if they are. Well, I believe an answering machine answered, but I didn't hear an answering machine message. Hello, Audio Collective. This is World Bridges during our live webcast. I just wanted to say hello, and if you get back anytime soon, give us a Skype. I'd love to discuss things with you on the webcast. If not, we'll Skype you later. Bye. Okay, well, maybe they're having dinner or something. Okay. Let's play some stuff from the media sphere. Let's begin with some music. A lot of great music out there. I should begin with what I played during the intro. I know I need to work. I am not much of an audio engineer at all. I listen to these podcasts, and there are people who have just this great audio symphonies of introductional music. I don't have those skills. So I just played that music in Windows Media Player and faded it down as I started talking. In any event, that music was from Citizens Here and Abroad. It's PodSafe music from citizensHereAndAbroad.com. And if you happen to be in Sheffield, England, tomorrow night, Friday, May 13th, they'll be playing at the Cricketers Arms at 8 o'clock. Don't know about the cover charge yet. It's to be announced. In any event, this is their single Appearances from Citizens Here and Abroad. right, that is Citizens Here and Abroad appearances. Appearing at Sheffield, England, tomorrow night, The Cricketer's Arms. Well, no one's still tuning in. So I'd like to play something from Ryan's vlog. Apparently, Ryan and, you know, I'm kind of new to the whole world of vlogging and podcasting, and there's a lot of people who know each other, and that's kind of one of the cool community things. This is Ryan, and I'm not sure, is that guy with her Jay in the vlog? I'm not certain, but anyway, from Ryan's vlog, she and the guy had presented at Blog Nashville, and were discussing the whole vlogging revolution at some conference. And, well, let's play some of it, and then I'll offer my thoughts on their experiences. This is a short clip of their presentation, and then a discussion with J.D. Lassica, who runs the fine organization ourmedia.org. Here they are.
It's just a matter of time where people understand that what we make in our homes is very important. Really right now, just to give you perspective, it's video blogging is like text blogging was in 1998, you know? So we're just at the beginning, you know? It's anyone's game right now. Anything's possible. We're still trying to figure out the technology. A lot of good tools have been made. The community is still very small. There's probably only maybe 200 people on the planet right now that are regularly posting a video in a blog. I mean,
That's amazing. Only 200 people who are vlogging. I mean, the internet has hit such a massive scale that when there's only 200 people doing something, especially something as what I consider cutting edge as vlogging, that's a pretty cool group to be in, or a pretty cool place to be in your content creation mindset.
I mean, that's such a tiny number. However, it's still pretty powerful because these people talk to each other. And we all know that, you know, you get 10 bloggers together or 200 and you got a pretty strong group of people.
I'd like to just send a thank you to my wife who just brought me this awesome strawberry smoothie. Just the webcaster's drink of preference. Okay, now here's their discussion with J.D. Lassica.
You know, like
that's an interesting question. I mean, maybe we've already hit the point where most of the early adopters are the people who are going to be the evangelists, who are totally into it for the passion, right, the creativity, and now other people are looking at it. Okay, how can this work for me, or how can I make use of it in my business, or whatever, but I don't know, we have to sort of step back a little bit and sort of shake them by the lapels and just get to the, you know, why are you doing this, or if you're not doing it for the right reasons, maybe, you know, you should go on to something else.
Or try it and fail.
Or try and fail, you know, and not everybody's going to be into all this kind of stuff,
sure.
But, you know, there's a hell of a lot of people who are, so yeah.
And that's true, maybe everyone won't be into this stuff, but 200 still seems like a remarkably small number. It's certainly not going to stay that small for very long, and I think the people who are part of that 200 will, I'm sure they'll move on to do fine and interesting things as vlogging evolves, but I'm sure they will feel a sense of loss for the community that comes with being such a small group of innovators. And now we hear Ryan and the guy, I think it's Jay, I'm not sure, and their thoughts on how things went there.
Welcome home.
Welcome home, Ryan.
What did you think of Blog Nashville?
It was weird. Mm-hmm. It's weird because there didn't seem the ratio of like real bloggers to people just kind of walking off the street seemed really high.
But it wasn't even like people walking off the street. It was like business people with websites or businesses or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of people with business websites wanting to know how to make a blog, thinking like that would help them make more money.
Right. Yeah. So it was weird in our session because we were like, okay, I mean, you all know what RSS is, and this is people putting video on their blogs, and we're like, are you guys bloggers or what?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a Dave Weiner-style blogger con where we would be its moderators, and it'd be a whole discussion for like an hour and 15 minutes when we should have just done a how-to.
Right.
Because a lot of people just had no idea what we were talking about.
Right, and the bloggers that were in the session, like I saw on their blogs, and people wrote to me later saying, oh, I wish this had been a how-to, and I'm like, shoot. So, yeah, and also I felt like people in our session were kind of defensive, like, what do you mean the archive gives away free hosting? How can they do that? That just can't be true. And we're like, well, okay, right. It is, and this is just...
I think what it is, and we've talked about this, I think that when you show people, like, this is freedom, you know, here's the door, you can leave now, you know. You can
do anything. Here's the door to the cage.
You can do anything that you want, you know, it's all free. It scares them. Like someone told me, when you tell people that they can share their lives on the internet, a lot of people don't want to do that. And that's,
right.
But I think there's plenty of people that do, so...
Sure, so...
It's okay.
Yeah, so we met some good people, but there are just a lot of other people just... my favorite example is, in the beginning, you said this. You were like, you know, eventually MTV's going to have a feed, and they'll be feeding, like, commercial videos through, and... Some guy in the corner was like, well, what's the address?
What's
the
MTV feed?
And we were like, I looked at your face and we were both like, what are you talking about? And he actually wanted to know, like,
I want it right now.
How to subscribe to it. How can I watch MTV for free?
It's
I was
okay.
Like, oh my God.
So I really think what it's like, what's May 9th or something, I think we'll be lucky if we have 6 more months of, like, kind of total freedom to kind of do what we want before the commercial feeds start coming in, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's true. I mean, I think commercial feeds will come in and people will start exploring how to make money. But I certainly hope that the spirit of vlogging and doing things for non-commercial purposes lives on. It's certainly something I would like to facilitate. Not that World Bridges will be exclusively non-commercial, but I think there's such valuable stuff that can come out of people just creating for the sake of creating and connecting for the sake of connecting and learning and growing and all that stuff, that commercialization of all this content creation hopefully will not it'll become a bigger part of the pie, but hopefully not the whole pie. Something interesting they mentioned also was about, you know, well, not everyone wants to share their lives. And from a lot of the podcasting and blogging that I've seen, a lot of it has been very personal. And, you know, that's I think, part of the appeal. But I don't think that's a requirement of what's happening either. I think if people want to create more content-based material, whether it's interviews or news, and certainly people are doing that, that's an option as well. In any event, they both, I believe, are pioneers of this new media sphere. So I hope they recover from Blog Nashville, and I think they've been getting lots of love from everyone, and we send out our love for doing all the cool things that they've done. Next up, and I should mention that I have tried to make sure that everything on this is pod safe, and have just been so impressed by Creative Commons licensing, and that's creativecommons.org, I think. What a great way to give people options of how they want to share their material. And I should say that this is all... I'll put the trademark stuff on when I get the show notes up and develop the site a bit more. But, hopefully everything on here should be pod safe. Next up, some pod safe music that I doubt many of you have heard. It is JJI Exile Brothers. They are a group of three brothers who live in Dharamsala, India. They are Tibetans who live in exile. It is Jamyung, the oldest brother, Jigme, the middle brother, and Ingsil. You can check them out at jjiexilebrothers.com. I met them back in 99 when I first went to Dharamsala, which is an amazing, magical place where I met lots of wonderful people and had probably the most satisfying webcasting and web creation experiences of my life thus far. So check them out at jjiexilebrothers.com. If anybody wants to, you know, bring them here, bring them to the U.S. to tour or to Europe or anywhere else, send them an email. Or actually send me an email because I haven't heard from them in a while. I'm not sure if their email is working. In any event, this is one of their first songs. It's called We Are in Exile. JJIExileBrothers.com. All right, up next, I was talking about the commercialization of things, of podcasts and blogs, and also about it not necessarily being about people's personal lives. The next podcast I want to play, and I'm just going to play a bit of it, it actually doesn't have the license. I always want to say Common Grounds. No, it's Creative Commons license. But I'm just going to play a short clip, and I'm going to include their sponsor. I think this is a pretty good example of a sponsored podcast and of a podcast not necessarily being about personal stuff. This is the Caribbean Free Radio podcast from CaribbeanFreeRadio.com. And it was produced in Trinidad by Georgia.
Radio podcast number 14, May 4th, 2005. CaribbeanFreeRadio.com.
World world-famous Tortuga Caribbean Rum Cakes. 7 moist and delicious flavors. Original Golden with walnuts, chocolate, key lime, pineapple, banana, coconut, and Blue Mountain Coffee Rum Cakes. A cake for all seasons and reasons.
Yes, Caribbean Free Radio is brought to you with the kind compliments of the Tortuga Rum Company, makers of the world-famous Tortuga Rum Cakes. Check them out at www.tortugarums.com. Hey there, and welcome to Caribbean Free Radio. I'm Georgia, coming to you as usual from Trinidad. I got back from St. Bart's last night with a bunch of material, which I have to edit. But I also had a couple of shows I'd done previously, which have been in limbo for a while. The first of which is this one, which is also Caribbean Free Radio's second sound scene tour. In this episode, my friend Mark Franco, who's an architect, and I take you on a visit to the central area of Trinidad's capital city, Port of Spain, part of which was destroyed by fire on April 9th, 2005. And we talk a bit about the history of the city, well, Mark does, and also meet some of the people affected by the recent incident, and all the other kinds of things people do on sound scene tours. Accompanying this podcast, I also have some photographs, which you can take a look at www.caribbeanfreeradio.com/fire.html. I'll also put that link on the website. And let me take the opportunity here to thank Horace Ove, who took the photographs on the day of the fire itself. So, here goes. Caribbean.
All right, and if you want to listen to their sound seeing tour, check out CaribbeanFreeRadio.com. But I thought that was a great example of a substantive podcast that had a commercial sponsor that was appropriate and really not intrusive in any way or annoying. It's not a pop-up ad kind of thing. It's a, hey, these people are paying for our resources and, you know, buy some of their cool product. All right. Still no one's tuning in. So I don't really get to experiment with the cool Skyping thing. So I'm going to play one more song, and if no one's still here, I'm probably going to sign off after that. This song is by Samantha Murphy, samanthamurphy.com. And if you happen to be at Border Books tomorrow at 2 p.m. in the City of Industry, California, which I never knew there was a city with that name, she will be performing live. This is Come Back to You by Samantha Murphy.
Hey there, don't you
wow, how is that for pod-safe music? I don't think she's going to be playing at Border Books for much longer. And I know that if I was in the city of Industry, California tomorrow at 2 p.m., I would go to Borders, buy a latte, and check that out. Which brings up another point. All this great music that's out there. Right now, this webcast, this Livewire thing, is really just kind of an experimental potpourri. And I could see World Bridges having some kind of, potpourri overview of what's going on in the media sphere. But I would also love to see more specific shows evolve, music-based shows that really just focus on the music that's out there, travel that just focuses on people's travel experiences and advice. So before I close, I should mention that if anybody has some content that they'd like to share with the World Bridges Livewire webcast, please send us an email to livewire@worldbridges.com or Skype us sometime and leave a voicemail at Skype World Bridges. And I think that's pretty much going to do it for tonight. I want to send a quick howdy out to David Bowman from abcdefg.ca. They are developing a vlog related to breast cancer diagnosis and mammograms done, and it's going to be a kind of a whole cool medical informational help kind of thing, which, you know, I hadn't even thought about that potential of this technology, but on Daily Source Code, I had heard a couple of cool medical podcasts, and that seems great. Especially, I think there should be some kind of geek medical guide or geek healthcare, because I think as a group, geeks probably drink too much coffee or smoke too much cigarettes or eat too many potato chips or, you know, have back problems from hunching over the computer for too long. So if anyone out there wants to produce a geek healthcare show, let me know. Or if anyone is interested in playing around with this kind of technology, if you'd like to host your own live show or co-host one, let me know. Livewire@worldbridges.com. So I think that is going to do it for today. I would thank you for tuning in, but since no one actually has tuned in, I can't thank you for that, but I will thank you for listening. If you've gone this far, you must have listened to something. I will be here tomorrow night at, what time? 10 o'clock Eastern Time, U.S., 7 o'clock Pacific, 3 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time for you late-night London partiers, 11 a.m. in Korea, Japan. Got to go to yoga class. Not got to go. We're going to our Friday night yoga, which is always a good thing. It's always good to stretch out, get away from the computer a bit. So after that, 10 o'clock, we'll all be back on the air. Hopefully someone will be tuning in and Skyping in so I can experiment with the cool Skyping fun that's ahead. I'm going to sign off for now, but I'm going to keep the stream going. I'll be playing some kind of pod-safe music or whatever, and I'll keep Skype open as I upload this audio file and update the web page. So if anyone does tune in the next few minutes, hope they'll Skype in, and who knows, the webcast could, part two could get going. If not, see you tomorrow night. Good night.